podcasting technology of normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today. It is Friday, November 2nd. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal right now to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, we have an absolutely huge audio stash for you today. Your free stash guaranteed to last all weekend. Today we're featuring our sit-down interview with Sendog of Cypress Hill. We recorded that earlier this week, Monday night actually, at a Cypress Hill concert at the TLA in Philadelphia. Philly Normal was there. This interview with Sendog, a wonderful interview talking about their work to bring awareness about marijuana prohibition out there. They've always been out front on this. So Sendog coming up here today. We'll also speak with Steve Bloom in our CelebStoner.com update. And we get a chance today to check in with two voices from High Times Magazine. We'll speak with the editor, Bobby Black, about the upcoming Cannabis Cup. Bobby also talks about his experience covering the Normal Conference in Los Angeles. And Danny Danko, the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine, joins us today with some tips for harvest season. Danny joins us once a month here on the Audio Stash to offer his cultivation expertise to medical marijuana patients and caregivers out there. Danny also gives us a real nice preview of what folks might expect in the competition at the Cannabis Cup coming up in just a few weeks, the 20th annual Cannabis Cup. If you're interested in attending, you can get a bunch of great travel deals right up there on High Times website. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. They can be found directly at hightimes.com. Let's get things started today. We got a lot to get to here in the Audio Stash. Let's start with Danny Danko. Joining us here today is Danny Danko, the cultivation editor of High Times Magazine. We've been speaking with Danny once a month here on the Audio Stash to offer cultivation tips for medical marijuana patients and caregivers. Danny's also going to give us a rundown of the seeds and strains that will be competing at the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam in just a few weeks. Danny, welcome back here to the show today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Always great to speak with you. Now, it's harvest time right now for many patients and caregivers. Danny, can you offer some tips for this time of year?
Well, I like to say that harvesting is always the most important part of the process because it really defines whether your buds are going to be perfect or below par. So as far as tips go, I would say definitely read and investigate the proper ways to trim, to cut down the plants, to dry them, and then to cure them. Those are basically the main processes of harvesting.
And can you actually harm the plants or even the final product by trimming it the wrong way?
I don't think you could really hurt them. I just think that if you don't trim properly, you're going to get perhaps too much leaf, and it'll be like a harsher smoke, a little more rough on the lungs.
Now, is there a difference between curing techniques between outdoor and indoor grown plants?
Usually, I would say that outdoor is not trimmed as properly because ideally people growing outdoors are going to be growing a lot more than somebody indoors for the most part. So it would seem that outdoor generally has a leafier sort of profile, which makes it a little harsher and, you know, reduces the price of the outdoor as well. As far as curing goes, as long as you can get the, you know, as much leaf off as possible, the curing process is the same for either indoors or outdoors.
And let me ask, Danny, can you go wrong trying to speed up that curing process?
Yeah, I think you can, because really what you're trying to do is remove the sort of chlorophyll, sort of green taste, and there's really no shortcuts for that except, you know, just patience and perseverance as far as the curing process begins once you have the dried pot into a jar. And what happens is the moisture from the inside of the bud is sort of redistributed throughout the bud so that the outside that seems crispy dry when you put it into the jar, after a few hours in the jar, it'll all seem moist again. It'll be moist again from the inner moisture. So the ideal thing is you just open and shut that jar, you know, once or twice daily to let some of the moisture out. And, you know, I always recommend a slow cure like that, you know, at least a week, if not 2 weeks, and some people go even longer than that.
So don't go putting any raw buds in the microwave, I take it.
Yeah, I would definitely not recommend that. That's kind of one of the shortcuts of people who are really desperate to get smoking right away. But there's alternatives to that if you want to, you know, test the buds beforehand. But yeah, I would definitely not recommend the oven or the microwave for any but the most extreme sort of situation.
Righto. And Dan, when the plants are initially harvested and cut down, should they be hung up whole, or should the buds be immediately removed from the main stalk?
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate on that, and I think hanging a whole plant will definitely have it dry slower, which is actually ideal. I mean, you don't want the buds to dry in 2 or 3 days because they'll still retain some of that harshness. So hanging it just allows more of the moisture from the main stem to sort of come out through the buds. So I recommend trimming it, trimming the plant whole or as close to whole as you can get it, and then hanging it with the stalks. Then there's a secondary trimming process after the buds are sort of popcorn dry where you trim them off of the main stalk, and then they go into the jars for the curing process. And that's usually the way you're going to get the least harsh, sort of slow, dry, well-cured buds that connoisseurs and medical patients rave about.
And what's the best way for medical patients to get multiple harvests during the year?
The number one thing is to grow indoors. So you can take advantage of the colder weather if you're in hot climates by bringing cool air into the grow room, because the lights, you know, will always create more heat. So if you can take advantage of cooler weather to bring in cold air, you can actually keep the grow room at a perfect temperature. And you know, indoors you can grow year round. In fact, some people take the summer off of growing indoors and concentrate on their outdoors just because of those same heat problems.
Now, we have gone over some of this previously, but for patients who do want a continuous supply and use clippings and clones to make that happen, what are the best ways to make sure those clippings can be used later on?
Right. Well, you need a mother plant to take clones of, and that you can keep really under, you know, pretty mild lighting, fluorescence or, you know, small caliber HIDs like a 250-watt or something, and that will keep mother plant alive. And the cuttings that you take off it, you know, ideally you want to take them basically about 2 weeks before you want to start vegetating them. And basically if you use a good rooting hormone and, you know, keep your medium moist but not soaked, but always, you know, always somewhat saturated. And humidity is important, and warmth is important. And then those cuttings that you cut off of the mother plant will develop roots. And once they have roots popping out of whatever medium you've chosen, they're basically ready to start growing.
Right on, Danny. All great tips there. Now, the Cannabis Cup is coming up very quickly here in just a few weeks, right around Thanksgiving. When you first started to participate in this event, did you think it would take root the way it has with people both in Amsterdam and in the U.S.?
You know, the founder of the Cannabis Cup, Stephen Hager, is also the editor-in-chief here at the magazine, and he likes to say that, well, it's the truth, that the first Cannabis Cup was really just three or four people in a hotel room. That was 20 years ago, so who could ever imagine that now here we are on the 20th cup, and we've got, you know, thousands of people heading over to Amsterdam, people from Europe, people from Japan, people from Russia, just all over, and they all converge on Amsterdam that week of Thanksgiving and, you know, sample what they have to offer.
And how does Amsterdam respond to this influx of cannabis-friendly Americans each year?
Yeah, I mean, there's always some grumbling from some of the Dutch about sort of that the American sort of invasion of their land. But at the same time, you know, there's a huge infusion of cash and you know, future seed bank customers, and you know, so there's sort of a double-edged sword for them. It's a hectic, busy week. And I'm sure they're very happy at the end when we all sort of pack up and go. But at the same time, they're making tons of money and getting a lot of exposure for the seed companies, for the coffee shops, you know, the various attractions there. There has been somewhat of a crackdown. They have a more conservative government now. They're trying to get rid of the psychedelic mushrooms that are being sold. Just in April, they banned coffee shops from serving any kind of alcohol, so you can't, you know, have a beer with your spliff anymore in any of the coffee shops. And so there's just this sort of slow general crackdown that the authorities have had, and you know, some of the Dutch may blame that in some ways on this, you know, pot tourism. At the same time, like I said, they're making money hand over fist, so it's hard to really take too much of those complaints seriously.
And who do you see being the top contenders in the Cannabis Cup this year?
Well, there's two different sort of contests. There's really the coffee shop contests, and then there's the seed company contest. And in the coffee shop contest, we sort of have the perennial winners, which are Greenhouse, Seed Company, Barney's, Breakfast Bar, which is, you know, both great coffee shops with good products. Then there's, you know, sort of the gray area, which is a great small American-owned shop, which always has high-quality buds and hash. And, you know, there's always ones that surprise you, too. You know, the Noon or Abraxas and the Damkring. There's a lot of coffee shops that you know, I mean, they collect the best things and hold them for that particular week as well because, you know, they want to win. So I would say basically Greenhouse, Barney's, and Gray Area are pretty much the three front runners every year for the coffee shops. And as far as seed companies go, that is judged on a much smaller basis by the, you know, expert or celebrity judges or whatever. And that competition lately has really started shifting from Dutch seed companies towards the Canadian American side of things, which is interesting because it sort of lit a fire under the Dutch breeder world to sort of step up their game. So it's very interesting. The quality is just constantly improving over there.
And though the cup will take place in Amsterdam, Danny, a lot of people ask me, do you think an event like this could take place in the U.S. as well?
Well, the truth is they do take place. I mean, there's an event called the Emerald Cup, and there's that's out in Northern Cali in December. There's all types of harvest festivals that go on. I just was maybe less than a month ago, earlier in October, I was at New York Harvest Fest, a little bit upstate from here where we are in the city. And, you know, I mean, the original Cannabis Cup was inspired by these harvest fests in America. So while they don't have, you know, 3,000 people showing up, that, you know, even if it's just 50 or 100 people getting together and smoking, you know, they're really trying to decide what's the best local varieties, and you know, that's the idea. People are sharing their techniques, sharing their buds, you know, even, I guess, sharing, you know, genetics, clones and seeds and things of that nature that that'll help improve the gene pool and have everybody smoking better pot.
Right on, Danny. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation here today. I really appreciate you taking time to join us each month here on the Audio Stash for these interviews.
Hey, no problem. I'm a big Normal supporter. I feel like people should really join up in droves. I think we could really make a lot more progress with the legalization movement by just having people get involved and participate, even if it's just $10 a month on their credit card. It makes a huge difference. So, you know, I want to do everything I can to encourage people to listen to the podcasts, to join Normal, to get involved in their local politics, and, you know, vote out the people that want to put us in jail. You know, it's actually an honor for me to be a part of it.
Right on. Many thanks again, Danny. Danny Danko is the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine. You can read his articles and check out the grow videos at hightimes.com. We have links to it on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
Dig the earth, pound it with your fist, a city hides, a hiding soil. They keep it under the streets. And if you need to feel some dirt, you can come over my yard. We can mash the soil.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Do you want to get high? Does everybody want to get high? I want to get high. So fucking high. Do you want to get high? Throw your weed leaf in the air like this. This is the new weed leaf sign. So when you're at a Cypress show or any rap group who talks about weed, go like this. This means you're a stony motherfucker. All these weed leaves can be grown by a seed.
Monday night, I went out to the Cypress Hill show at the TLA on South Street in Philadelphia. Philly Normal was there, handing out Normal flyers and buttons and getting people to sign a decriminalization petition there. Thanks to Suburban Noise Records, James at Kerosene Media, and Sendog himself, we got a chance to sit down backstage before the show for an interview. Cypress Hill has been out in front on the marijuana issue from day one. They've always been a strong and respected group who have consistently produced albums that both sell well and strike chords with their audience. Their steadfast ability and signature sound have kept them at the top of their charts and the top of their game, even as hip-hop and rap have gone through transitions. Marijuana has always been a big part of Cypress Hill. Their tracks, Stoned is the Way of the Walk and Hits from the Bong, are pot-smoking anthems around the world. And Cypress Hill is not just about smoking pot, they're about legalizing it. And they did not get into promoting reform by accident, as Sendog explained.
No, that was a conscious decision when we first started out to format the band and what it was going to be about. And, you know, our identity and who we were. And that we were thinking of all these other things, and we didn't really just look at ourselves and be like, you know, just ourselves, who we are, is, you know, we could do something around it. So, you know, we started doing songs, you know, incorporating, you know, the whole cannabis hemp movement and stuff, because, you know, even as youngsters, we always still believe that we knew we could use cannabis for. We weren't like ignorant little potheads just smoking weed just to smoke it. We always knew that. So there was a natural way to, you know, incorporate into the band and be about something. And I'm very glad we did, because there's a lot of people around the world that, you know, share the same point of views as Cypress Hill does. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think, you know, what do you think would help best to change things out there? What do you think would change the attitudes?
I think most of all is knowledge of what we're talking about here. A lot of people don't know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of people think we're talking about we want to walk down the street smoking weed. You know what I mean? And in some countries you can do that, but in this country you can't. But we're, overall, I think the most important thing is our world we live in and the rapid rate that is being destructed in. And it's just more than one aspect of, it's not just the rainforest, you know what I'm saying? It's other aspects too. And I think, you know, it'll be a good thing to use products that help the world, not take from the world, you know what I mean? And that's why I say that people need to be educated about it, because, you know, to the public, you know, you're being ignorant if you think that it's just about smoking weed for us, man. You know what I mean? We're talking, it's an environmental trip as well, man, you know? Yeah.
That helps build it all the way around. Also, too, I mean, being in so out front of that about it, have you gotten any surprise reactions? I mean, have you been surprised by a crowd maybe you thought would be conservative and turned out not to be, or maybe even vice versa out there?
We've been a couple places, not in a long time, but when we first were out there, first couple of years, we went to a couple places that, you know, they had the whole Christian brigade out there, you know, picketing against Cypress Hill and, you know, and calling us evil and this and that and the other. And I'm like, man, I come from a Christian family, man. You people don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? And my mom is one of those people like that. But even she understood, like, what we're talking about when we did our album. We put the 20 facts of what cannabis hemp could be actually used for. My mom had no idea that you could make gasoline with it. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, you know, then she was tripping, like, okay, well, maybe you guys aren't just, you know, promoting, you know, smoking stuff, whatever. I go, Mom, you know, people are going to think that of us anyways. But you got to understand that there's a whole different trip that goes far beyond the smoking stuff. And it's you know, it's even a financial trip. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The financial trip. This country is killing itself by, you know, having it illegal. You know what I mean?
It is indeed. Do you feel that cannabis is becoming a social justice issue in America? And maybe have you seen it change? Have you seen the attitude shift a little bit, especially in the last few years?
Well, definitely, man. I don't know about whole America, but in California, you know, definitely with the whole, you know, medical marijuana usage thing, it's basically a way of saying, okay, it's cool here. You could smoke weed legally, but it has to be this way. You know what I mean? So, of course, definitely culturally, the whole thing is changing, man, because, you know, now you have, you know, people in high positions in the world that are outspoken about it. And these people are, you know, big time, you know, judges and lawyers and doctors and movie moguls and, you know, big time, you know, millionaires and people around the world that share the same thing, the same mind frame. And it's some of the stigma has been taken off, but not all of it. You know what I mean? And the reasons not all the stigma is taken off are political. Believe that.
What do you think about politics today? Where, you know, Philly is in this amazing position here, big city. It's sort of the center of a political movement. What's your take on what's going on out there right now?
Tell you the honest truth, man. I've always been the kind of cat that never really tripped on politics, because I always could see from beginning, from when I was a young kid and I recognized what was going on, that they're not really telling you shit. They're not telling you the truth. You know what I mean? I don't care who's president, you know? He got there by bullshitting somebody, you know what I mean? And you gotta sell lies to get there. You're not gonna accomplish everything that you promised people when you get in the office. And you're not gonna accomplish all that shit, man. So you bullshitted somebody and you got in there, and I could always tell that, man. And I never really, you know, tripped on politics. The only time that I really bug out on that is like when, you know, you have to send a bunch of young kids to war, and then it kind of bugs me, you know what I mean? But as far as like, am I going to go vote for somebody? No. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to feel responsible when, you know, this fucking country goes to shit that I voted for the motherfucker that put in there. No, I don't really trip. I don't really trip on. I just hope that whoever is the president of the United States, you know, does the best job, you know, for the country, because we are the leaders of the world, and the whole world looks at us, you know what I mean? So we definitely need somebody super intelligent and very intellectual to deal with all these world issues, because there are a lot of them, and every day more and more come. So I just hope whoever is in there, you know, can handle all that shit, because I wouldn't want to do it.
You know, also, too, coming upstairs, there's a huge young crowd downstairs here at the TLA right now. You guys have continued to speak to the next generation out there. You know, do you think that, do you get a sense from these young people that they have a completely different attitude about marijuana and cannabis than even the Gen Xers, the generation before that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. These kids now are more up on it. You know what I mean? The information era, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, all the websites and all that stuff, and there's just so much info for kids and, you know, people in general to get turned on to, man. A lot of kids nowadays, you know, they know exactly what it is, you know. They know what the movement's about, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's not a bunch of party cats out there or whatever there is, but I'm just saying that this, you know, by now, you know, we're in our third generation of fans, and a lot of them, you know, they could quote you lyric for lyric and things like that. So they're up there, man. They're not just listening, man. They're learning.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Now, you guys donated a track to the Hempilation One album. It was a High Times Normal benefit album back there in the 90s. Was that the first time you really got involved with Normal? Did you know about Normal before that?
Yeah, we'd known about them, man. We'd known about them. We were teenagers because we were, you know, we were reading High Times magazine since, you know, junior high and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so we knew what was going on, so we had a chance to work with them, and we thought it was a great deal. You know what I mean? Us being believers in the whole movement, and being able to, you know, get down with a movement like Normal, wow, you know, that's big for us, man, and our fans loved us for that, you know?
Sendog has a new solo album coming out on the Suburban Noise record label. He's featured on tracks with Big B and the Cottonmouth Kings, both on that label. I asked him about working with an independent record label on this new project.
That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be on an indie label. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where, you know, where it's going to be like a cool thing to record. It's not no big major label corporate structure deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, I get stoned with Kevin Zinger, my boss, and we hang out. You know what I mean? And it's a beautiful thing. So I really wanted to go there. And I took my solo stuff in that era, and I took my metal band SX-10 that way too. And I think it's the perfect, you know, spot. We all got solo records. B's got his own solo album called B-Ray. What's the name of your solo album? Smoke and Mirrors. And then I got my solo album coming in January. It's called The Biggie Bang Theory. And then Bobo has an album too. What's the name of your record?
Meeting of the Minds.
Meeting of the Minds. So everybody's doing their own thing. And then, you know, now everybody's done. We come back together. We do Cypress. Everybody's you know, motivated, you know, fresh ideas, because everybody out doing their own thing. Come back and, you know, everybody throw it all in the pot and stir it up. You know what I mean? Let that shit stir for a minute and, you know, get some gumbo out of it and let's get some, you know, songs, man. One thing, too, is that there's no direction either for the first time ever. We're not going in the studio like, we have to sound like this or I want to do music like this. Just throwing tracks up, you know, find something funky, write to it, come up with something good, you know, lay it down, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you know, we'll see what that, you know, fresh approach, non-pressure approach comes with. The first four or five songs are all killer, so I think as it goes along, it's just going to get, like, cooler and cooler.
Right on. Well, many thanks for taking time for us here tonight.
Right on, man. I just want to give a shout-out to all the fans in Philly that supported Cypress Hill throughout the years. You know, you guys are the reason that we still do this. And we just want to say that we love you guys. And be looking for a new Cypress Hill album, you know, in 08.
Our interview with Sendog there here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Coming up for you next, we got a track with Sendog. This is Sendog with the Cottonmouth Kings on the new Cloud 9 album. This is Dark Side. We have links to Cloud 9 and to download the album on iTunes right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
vocal.
Watch out.
Cottonmouth Kings featuring Sendog off the new album Cloud Nine there at Suburban Noise Records. We have links to Suburban Noise Records and to download Cloud Nine right up on iTunes on our website at normalaudiostash.com. And also joining us from High Times Magazine today is the infamous Bobby Black, the editor at High Times Magazine. Bobby is also the coordinator of the Miss High Times pageant in Jamaica each year. Bobby, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks a lot, Chris. It's good to be here.
Great to speak with you today, Bobby. First, you were out at the Normal Conference a few weeks ago, covering it for High Times Magazine. Let me ask what your impressions of the conference were, perhaps some of the speakers that really stuck out for you.
I really enjoyed Rick Steves' speech. I thought that he had a lot of really positive things to say, and I thought he was a really good speaker. I mean, obviously, he's a TV host, so he's used to being in front of an audience in front of and speaking to public, but I just thought he was very entertaining and very informative, and I just really respect his stand on things, because like he said in his speech, he doesn't understand why so many celebrities who obviously enjoy pot don't come out and say so, you know, because if more famous people came out on behalf of pot and said, look, you know, I smoke and it's not a big deal, it's just a normal thing, then, you know, maybe things would get changed a little quicker. But I think the fact that people are scared and they're in the closet helps perpetuate this idea that there's some kind of stigma attached to pot, you know. And there's some stars who you know, oh, their publicists and their people are afraid what will happen to their careers if they come out. But, I mean, we know Brad Pitt smokes weed, but you really think that if he came out and said, yeah, I smoke pot, so what, that he would stop getting movie roles? I mean, you know what I mean? It's absurd. Of course he would keep getting roles, and he'd still get paid, and everything would be the way it always was, you know. So I think that was one of the things about what he said that I appreciated. I also enjoyed, I thought it was great that he said that he felt an obligation as, he was saying as a travel writer and a travel host, that travel goes a long way in combating intolerance, because it's easy, you know, xenophobia is easy when you aren't exposed to those things, but when you've actually traveled and seen different cultures and different cultures, you know, firsthand, it makes you more, I think, more tolerant of it and more understanding, because once you understand something, you know, you're less scared of it. You know, so I thought that was really powerful. And, you know, other than that, I enjoyed Alan's speech. I enjoyed the GROW seminar that Nico did, and Nico Escondido from High Times. And I also enjoyed the luncheon speaker, Pania. He was very funny guy, very entertaining. I enjoyed his speech immensely.
And Bobby, the Stony Awards went very well. Had a great mix of celebrities like Seth Rogen, Joe Rogan, Tommy Chong, of course, and Mystery from VH1. Could the Stonies be going back to LA in the future, do you think?
I think there's a really good chance. Yeah, I think Hollywood is the perfect place to do the Stonies. I mean, all the celebrities are really there, so you know, it makes it more accessible for them to come and accept their awards and come have a good time and party with us if it's right there in Hollywood. You know, New York's a great city too, don't get me wrong, but I think Hollywood is a good home for the Stonies. And you know, doing it with partnering it with Normal was a really good way to go too. I think it really brought a lot of people out and really helped help raise some money and some awareness for you guys.
And Bobby, the Cannabis Cup is coming up in just about 3 weeks here in Amsterdam. It's the 20th annual cup this year, and also a good showcase for the Miss High Times pageant and the beautiful and outspoken young women involved with that. Tell us about what the attendees this year can expect at the event.
This year's going to be, amazing. It's the 20th anniversary, so we're inducting Cheech and Chong into the Cannabis Counterculture Hall of Fame. And so Tommy's going to be there, and we're hoping, we got our fingers crossed, that Cheech might come too. There's a rumor that he might show up. So a Cheech and Chong reunion at the Cannabis Cup would be pretty amazing.
Wow.
If that happens. And also we have, I'm going to be hosting a show each day called The Baked Show, which is going to be around like 2 o'clock. And then we have the 420 show, which is hosted by Dan Sky, and we have a Wake and Bake show hosted by Jet, who's a former Cannabis Castaway. So we have all that stuff going on. We have some great bands. We have Mo playing, and we have some of the members of, String Cheese Incident, their new band. So it's going to be a big, anybody who's into the jam band scene is going to have a great, you know, they're going to love the musical selections. And, it's the 20th anniversary. I think there's going to be more people at this year's event than ever before. I mean, I think everybody's going to come out of the woodwork to come to the 20th anniversary. So we're looking forward to it.
And this event, the Cannabis Cup, has turned into a real boon for the local economy each year in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I think some of the Dutch have mixed feelings about it. I think that, you know, having 2,000 or 3,000 crazy stoned Americans invade their city for a week, you know, they're bound to have mixed feelings, you know. But you can't deny that we do bring a lot of business to the city, and so the coffee shops certainly benefit from it. At least certain ones do. Any shop that wins a major Cannabis Cup certainly sees a big spike that year in their, you know, in their tourism visits, and also in their, you know, if they sell seed companies, they definitely see a boost in their sales by winning a cup. So I think some of the coffee shops get real excited about it. They look forward to it. They promote like crazy when the Cannabis Cup's coming around, and they really get into the whole spirit of the event. You know, some of the smaller, low-key shops don't get as into it, but, you know, like I said, they, you know, we bring business, you know, and I think most of them think it's really fun.
And Bobby, now 20 years into the event, there's a new generation turning out for it as well.
Yeah, I think part of that has been just our, you know, the way we've been covering it and blowing it up each year. It's been getting bigger and bigger for sure. And also, I just think that, you know, pot has become so prevalent in our culture. It really has gone mainstream, especially with shows like Weeds and things like that. I mean, not that it hasn't always been prevalent, but in the mainstream media, it just seems like it's starting to become a little more acceptable. And I think more and more people are getting into it. And I just think it's great, you know, that, I mean, pot is mainstream. High Times is basically an institution now, you know. So it's, I think people are really definitely, you know, the notoriety of the cup has grown. I mean, there was even an episode of Weeds, like I was saying, that featured a cannabis cup-like, you know, convention, which is obviously, you know, an homage to the cup. So I think that, you know, it's going to continue to grow. But this year is going to be extraordinary because of the 20th, I think.
And, Bobby, you'll also be presenting some High Times podcasts from the Cannabis Cup as well.
Sure, yeah. We're going to be filming a lot at the event, and we have podcasts leading up to the event. So there's going to be definitely afterwards there'll be lots of podcasts of the footage from the event. You can definitely look forward to that on High Times TV. And we actually have some footage from the Stonies going to be going up soon. So you'll get people who didn't get a chance to go to the awards will get to see some of what went down at the Stony Awards on High Times TV, which will be pretty cool.
Right on. Well, Bobby, this has been a great conversation here today. I really appreciate you taking time to join us here on the Audio Stash, and I look forward to speaking with you from the Cup in just a few weeks.
Okay, sounds great, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks again, Bobby. Bobby Black is the editor at High Times Magazine. You can read his articles and check out the High Times podcast right up at hightimes.com, and we have links to it right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
And now it's time to check in with Steve Bloom for our Friday CelebStoner.com update.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners around the planet. You can read it all in Marijuana News up on his website, celebstoner.com. He joins us here each Friday. Steve, welcome back to the show.
How are you, Chris?
Doing very well. Busy week for sure. Topping off one of the many celebstoner.com headlines this week is a fellow Jersey boy, Mr. John Bon Jovi. I've learned that there are really two gods in New Jersey, and it's Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen. And Bon Jovi was out this week talking about his marijuana past here in the Garden State.
Yeah, he was interviewed. I'm not even sure. The interview, I think, was over in Europe. It didn't get a lot of play here in the U.S., but we titled the story Bon Jovi because he chatted with an interviewer about his drug use when he was younger. He claims to have gotten away from drugs, but when he was younger, he said, I did the drug thing very young and wised up. Very young, too, because I was into drugs a little too much. I was entrepreneurial even then, buying quarter pounds of dope and trying to make a couple of bucks. So clearly he was doing a little dealing. He also recalls smoking marijuana that was laced with PCP, which, you know, could give you a bad, you know, impression of marijuana and might, you know, steer you away from using it if that's, you know, your, you know, experience with it. He said that that's why I've never been a drug guy. I didn't feel I didn't have the mental stability, because he's referring to this drug-laced marijuana with PCP that, you know, he recalls a whole summer of hallucinations. He says it was effing awful. So so that's pretty much his story about that, and I found it interesting. I mean, Bon Jovi's never really been much on the record about drug use. Kind of has a fairly clean reputation, unlike, you know, his bandmate Richie Sambora. Interestingly, back in 88, when he was still with the band Bon Jovi, his manager, Doc McGee, was arrested in a smuggling scheme to bring in 40,000 pounds of marijuana from Colombia. So it was sort of around his life back then. McGee got off really easily. He ended up with a suspended sentence, $15,000 fine, and had to start a foundation, what was called the Make a Difference Foundation. And they put out an album at the time, and I thought it was kind of humorous back then. They had all these artists who, you know, some of whom probably, you know, regularly use drugs, who were, you know, contributing to this CD called Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell, and Bon Jovi had a version of The Boys Are Back in Town on that anti-drug CD. So that's, you know, really all we have on Bon Jovi. But, you know, he does, you know, for him, marijuana was bad medicine.
Good. Very good 80s cross-reference there. How come all these celebs say this stuff to British or European publications? Do American reporters just not ask the questions?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, maybe they just tend to, you know, pop the drug question. You know, oftentimes here I find, you say, certain reporters for Rolling Stone and Spin and Blender, you know, when they're doing an interview, they inevitably get around to asking a question about drugs. And that's how you get some of this, you know, information. And interestingly, this week as well, Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the news, and that was from a quote that he had given British GQ magazine. So, you know, again, he didn't make the comment about marijuana that was going around today. It was, this week, it was a pretty funny comment about marijuana not being a drug, it being a leaf, and him recalling his days of smoking marijuana, you know, back in the 70s, you know, when he, you know, he's famous for the scene in Pumping Iron, the documentary that kind of introduced Schwarzenegger to the world, you know, when he was, you know, a big, when he was, you know, into, you know, Pumping Iron, and he was doing all that, and he developed a reputation, you know, for bodybuilding. And there's a quick scene in the movie that, like, about a 3-second scene where he's smoking a joint. And this is real. It's not fake because, I mean, obviously it could have been a fake joint, but it was a documentary. So it was, and he's never denied that. You know, he's never denied that he used marijuana back then. And, you know, even with his comments, his latest comment, he doesn't deny. He doesn't say, oh, I didn't inhale. He just basically says he didn't do it again. I mean, his comments in the past is, I did smoke a joint and I did inhale. The bottom line is, that's what it was in the 70s. That's what I did. I have never touched it since. And his more recent comment was, I didn't take any drugs back then. That is not a drug. It's a leaf. My drug was Pumping Iron. So it's pretty humorous, really. And again, that's a British, you know, publication. So they dig. They dig a little bit harder sometimes over there, or maybe they catch them off guard.
So, Steve, is Schwarzenegger saying the only time he smoked pot, a documentary film crew happened to be there that day?
I don't know if he's saying that's the one time. He said, you know, I did smoke a joint and I did inhale. So he's saying, you know, and that's kind of playing off the Clinton line, you know, that he didn't inhale. But but I don't know if that means it was only one time. It's just shown, you know, if you go to my site and you click the Schwarzenegger full pot, you know, link, you'll see the picture of him with the joint in hand. And then there's also a clip that I found on the web of the actual scene, which is a very short scene. So I don't know. I don't know exactly whether, you know, he had a number of times, but my guess is most likely. I'm sure it wasn't just one time on a set. You know, it was very common back then, and it is very common today. The difference is then it was viewed as acceptable, and today it's sort of, you know, kind of not acceptable for celebrities to admit that kind of current use.
And Steve, talking about marijuana being a big deal, it showed up this week in a presidential debate. The Democrats, Les, Mike Gravel, were here in Philadelphia at Drexel University. Philly Normal submitted 10 questions to the debate. And though one wasn't asked word for word, Tim Russert did pose a decriminalization question in terms of the other candidate's support for Senator Chris Dodd's position that he would, in fact, decriminalize marijuana federally.
I'd like to comment on that because I think it's interesting that, you know, the marijuana question is coming up in debates more and more. You know, it's usually a medical marijuana question. Would you, you know, stop the raids on patients and of dispensaries in California? By the way, there were 7 more raids this week in the Bay Area, DEA raids of dispensaries. And, you know, that's sort of the question that the Granite Staters up in New Hampshire have been asking, and they've been great about getting good responses from all the candidates. But, you know, here it was a little different. You know, it was Tim Russert asking, you know, actually it was the Yahoo debate, and he kind of was wrong where he said on the Bill Maher show, you know, the question was to Chris Dodd, or was to all the candidates, but it was basically, it said that Senator Chris Dodd, you went on the Bill Maher show last month and said that you were for decriminalizing marijuana. Is there anyone here who disagrees with Senator Dodd in decriminalizing marijuana? It's just the backup is that Maher asked that question on the Yahoo internet debate where he was asking wild card questions, and he asked that one of Dodd, so it wasn't really on real time. But and then Dodd, you know, responded favorably to the idea of decriminalization. Now, there were seven candidates at this particular debate, not including Mike Gravel, who, by everybody probably knows by now, stands in favor of, you know, legalizing marijuana. And so the interesting, you know, what they've been doing in the debates lately is, you know, everybody raise their hand, you know, if you're in favor of this, that, or the other thing. A little embarrassing for the candidates because, you know, sometimes it's a very hot button issues. And it was really fascinating to see what happened. You know, he asked the question, who would agree with Dodd, who would disagree with Dodd? And everybody in the panel raised their hand except for Kucinich, who again we would know that, you know, he favors, you know, at least decriminalization and certainly has been on, you know, made a lot of comments in favor of medical marijuana. And, but you watch the hands go up and, you know, Hillary's hand went up, Biden's hand went up, Richardson's hand went up. Obama's hand kind of slightly went up. It was funny to watch. Like he kind of like halfway up. You know, it's like, don't, I don't want to answer this question. Don't throw it at me. It was such a hot question to throw out. Like, who's going to deal with it? And, you know, it's a tough one. I mean, now on my site, you know, we ripped, John Edwards, because John Edwards, you know, he threw the ball at Edwards. Apparently, maybe for some reason, you know, Russ decided, you know, he goes, Senator Edwards. And so Edwards just goes, you know, because I think it sends the wrong signal to young people. And I think the President of the United States has a responsibility to ensure that we're sending the right signal to young people. A very standard answer, you know, to like hide behind young people and, you know, we can't do it, you know. Edwards has admitted his use. Edwards smoked, you know, pot when he was in college at the very least. You know, he's again talked about smoking pot in the 70s when he was, when he went to North Carolina State, when he went to University of North Carolina Law School. You know, he's admitted to his use, yet he's saying it's the wrong signal for young people. Yeah, of course it's the wrong signal for like 12-year-olds. You know, but we're dealing with adults here who smoke marijuana, not kids, and they can't, politicians, you know, are unable to separate this issue, that it's not, you know, about kids. Yes, you know, if it's legal, you have to make sure that, you know, underage, you know, people do not smoke marijuana like, you know, like alcohol and tobacco. So, you know, when the time comes when there's some form of regulation on marijuana, it'll be very similar. So they always hide behind that. So, you know, it looked bad for Edwards, you know, to people like us who would like to see a more positive response. But never, you know, but it looked like everybody else on that panel was about to sort of more or less echo what Edwards said. It would have been fascinating to hear what everybody else would have said. But, you know, it was a one-shot answer. Edwards got on, you know, in the hot seat, so to speak. He gave sort of what we would consider the wrong answer. But I think all of them on that panel were about to give the wrong answer. It just would have been very interesting to hear what they all would have said.
Right on. Well, Steve, this has been a great conversation here today. I appreciate you joining us each Friday here on the program.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris.
Thanks again. Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of celebrity stoners around the planet. You can read it all and marijuana news up at celebstoner.com. He joins us on the program each Friday. Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. Listen to the Audio Stash. Vote for us at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. Everyone have a fun summer weekend out there, and we're back at 4:20 on Monday.